I got diagnosed with a thyroid condition. And it wasn't until I started to investigate, well, what could be causing this? Why am I not getting the results that I want? And so I started to investigate what could be the causes. And I, with further testing, I found out it was Hashimoto's. And no disrespect to my doctor I was working with at the time. He was doing a fabulous job. He did as much as he could. He just didn't have the tools or the skills to move forward in that.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So as I went through the list of all the episodes we've done, and we are now sitting at around 150, I realized that there's one topic we actually haven't unpacked or explored very much at all, and that is autoimmune conditions. Autoimmune conditions affect women infinitely more frequently than they do men, and especially for busy, stressed out ladies like ourselves. So today I've asked one of my friends, Dr. Allison Danby, a renowned expert on autoimmune conditions, to come on and share her wisdom about why so many women are actually missing out on the opportunity to be diagnosed with an autoimmune condition, and what we should all be looking at in order to not only reverse them, but to prevent them from emerging in the first place. It is truly my pleasure to introduce you to my friend and autoimmune expert, Dr. Allison Danby. Dr. Allison Danby, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we have a lot to cover today. And it was interesting because I was going back through my past episodes. And today we're going to talk a little bit about autoimmune disease. And I realize this is not a topic that we have covered with any great level of detail. So I'm actually really excited that we can have you here. So as we're getting things started and we're setting the stage for this really important conversation, can you give everyone a little bit of a background in terms of who you are and why this is an area of women's health, essentially, that you're so passionate about?
Absolutely. So I'm Dr. Allison Danby. I'm a naturopathic doctor, and I've been doing functional medicine for 12 years now. And this is an area that I've grown to love. I personally went through my own journey of autoimmune 12 years ago and navigated that course myself. And now with all the research that's coming out and all the advanced strategies for treatment and different areas of looking into root cause and what's causing it, it's just really flourishing. And I love the change that we can get with people, helping them just identify, why is the body doing this? What's going on? Why me? And how can we help minimize the effect and the need for some of the really heavy pharmaceuticals? And so it's just an area that I've just grown to love with the research and helping people.
So can we set the stage just for those individuals who are like, I've heard of autoimmune conditions, but maybe I don't have one. I don't know what it is. What exactly does it mean to have any kind of autoimmune condition? And can you throw a few examples out there?
Absolutely. So one of the most common, I think, talked about autoimmune conditions is Hashimoto's, which is when your body starts to attack your own thyroid gland and it starts to slow down. That's probably, I would call that almost an introductory autoimmune condition. So it's one that's now being caught more and more. People are becoming more aware of it, asking for the testing for the antibodies against it. But that's what an autoimmune condition is when your body starts to develop an immune reaction to one of your own organs. So Hashimoto's is becoming a really popular one. We're seeing more and more people getting diagnosed with it. And lupus is another one, and this can affect quite a few different areas in the body, the skin, the kidneys, joints. Rheumatoid arthritis is one that's a really common one as well, and that's where we start to see degeneration in the joints, especially the small joints, the hands and the feet. There's quite a few. There's over 150 different autoimmune conditions, but it's all when the body, your own body, starts to attack itself. That's what classifies an autoimmune condition, and the testing generally looks for antibodies against that.
And are autoimmune conditions actually happening with increased frequency, or are we just better at detecting them early on?
I think it's a little bit of both. So I think we're definitely testing more and more, and especially too with people being able to go to other practitioners like naturopathic doctors where you can pay to get testing done. So we're diagnosing it a lot earlier or identifying that this could be a potential problem a lot earlier. And also we're aware, I think with social media and the way that everything has changed in the last 5 to 10 years with available information, you could just Google something and look at what are some of the symptoms and then going in and asking for this testing. And two, we know a lot of it is genetic based. So if our parents have been diagnosed with it, a lot of us are kind of being more aware of like, is this coming down my pipeline and are kind of jumping on it a little bit quicker. But I also do think that we are seeing more and more of it purely because of the amount of exposures to toxins, just our environment in general is really kind of allowing the body or causing the body to misfire.
Well, and our thyroid is so sensitive to those environmental influences. Like, I'm not sure what you see in your practice, but I know for me, we run thyroid antibodies on all of our patients. Mm-hmm. And I would argue very confidently that a third of the women, we see it much less frequently in men, but a third of the women that we test this on are actually coming back with positive antibodies against the thyroid. Is that what you're seeing in your practice also?
Absolutely. In fact, I would say it's a little bit higher, but absolutely. Anyone who comes in with a thyroid condition or suspected thyroid condition, that's the preliminary screenings that we run is a full thyroid panel where we're looking at the function of the thyroid, but also the antibodies. And I always call the thyroid the canary in the coal mine. It's one of the first ones to be noticed. It's very sensitive, exactly how you said. It's very sensitive to the chemical exposure. And, you know, we're exposed over 10,000 chemicals a day. So our bodies, of course, are going to have to be able to handle that at some point or figure out a way to handle it. And if it can't, that's usually where we see it kind of identifying first.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And jump in on this, because one of the things I have women say to me all the time, they're like, oh, well, my doctor ran thyroid markers or ran blood work for my thyroid and there was nothing wrong with it. So I'm not sure I want to do this. And my typical one, I'm happy to look at what was run. But typically, yeah, I'm actually not seeing most primary care providers running these antibodies. And when I ask them about it, I mean, they're pretty frank about the fact. They're like, well, I can't do anything about it when I see it, so I don't even bother running it. And I would love for you to jump in on that conversation, because I think this stops a lot of women in their tracks from actually finding what you've called a gateway autoimmune condition. And that's the beauty of naturopathic medicine, is we can do so much with it.
Absolutely. And that's one of the very first things that I tell women is, and so yes, conventional medicine, they tend not to run the antibodies purely because they really don't have anything in their tool belt to help with it. So, you know, they run it and it comes back abnormal. Now what? They refer to an endocrinologist, and then it's a wait and see game of when do we need to add in the Synthroid or the T4. And so, and really there's no way for them to settle it down, the immune response. And that's where we really shine, is there's so much that we can do before it gets to that point of damage. And one thing I do want to point out is just because you have antibodies doesn't mean that that's causing damage. It's an idea that we can look. It's antibodies are showing that there is a problem, but it doesn't necessarily mean destruction. But we always want to kind of go and investigate. Why is the body producing these antibodies? Is it because it's trying to clear out a virus? Is it because there's toxins that have changed the formation? Is it foods you're eating? But there's so much that we can do to look at why is this happening and slow the progression down, if not reverse it, which is always our ultimate goal.
Okay, so I want to start to talk about those, some of the things that we see commonly in people with autoimmune conditions. But before we do, can you just tackle this question that I know everyone has, which is, why are women more at risk than men?
Oh, that's a great question. And this is a question I asked myself for many years. And so I've done a lot of research in it. And there's a couple of reasons. There's several reasons. One is that women just have a more aggressive immune system. So because we are carrying babies. And so we are developed, we have a more aggressive immune system to protect our babies and to protect the fetus that we're bringing in and all those different things. So our immune system is just ready to go all the time. The other thing, women are much more sensitive to hormonal changes with stress. And you look at kind of the women in the last 50 years, the progression of how our lifestyles have changed. And we're just taking on so much more. We're busier than we ever have been. We have way more work, family, you know, extracurricular, driving everywhere. Whereas I look back at my grandmother and, you know, they had to take a horse into town. So it was a big event. And she was working part-time and raising the family. So there's a big difference in how we're living. The other thing, too, is when you have an increase of stress, or I call it the busy factor. So it may not be stress, because as women, we love stress. We thrive on it. Our time management is so much better. All of the things fall into place. We're just effective. But physically, our bodies are screaming at us. So we have a hormone imbalance. It changes digestion. Then you're more apt to get more food intolerance. You're having more bacteria overgrowth in the small intestines. You're just having all these different things coming up purely because we are pushing ourselves further and further and further and harder and harder. And I think it's just part of our nature of who we are and what we like to accomplish. So I think that's the biggest risk factor.
Do you have tools for measuring the effects of stress on your patients?
I love that you asked that, because I know you use the Leaf. And so I've used HeartMath quite a bit in the past, and I love it because it's just a little finger pulse thing that you measure. It's $100, and it's an app on your phone, and so that's the one I really love using. I know Leaf is one that you use a lot, and I haven't looked into that. Aura Ring's another one that that's on my Christmas list, so I'm kind of excited. Hopefully I get that this year. If not, it will be a New Year purchase, a Boxing Day purchase, because I really think that's an effective tool of measuring just your overall kind of how's your lifestyle impacting your health. But those are the three that I know of.
Yeah. And they're really cool. And for people who are like, what are these cool toys you're talking about? They're heart rate variability monitors. And heart rate variability is not your heart rate. Your heart rate variability is the shift in amplitude that we see between heartbeats. And not to get in like to the nitty gritty physiology of it, but for people who are listening, the cool thing about heart rate variability is that it allows us to start to understand actually how stressed your system is getting in response to the external inputs that you are placing upon it. So I certainly have in my practice people where we talk about stress, you know, their immediate response when I say, well, I suspect stress is part of the root cause. They're like, well, I don't get stressed. And I'm like, well, that's probably true. You probably are highly adept at managing all the pieces coming at you. But just like you said, often in those individuals, it's because their physiology is picking up the slack behind the scenes. And so heart rate variability is a really great way of your system being able to, for you to be able to capture data related to how your system is handling the stress that you are placing upon it. So it is a really cool technology and extremely well researched. So the research around heart rate variability as a measure of your nervous system's activity in response to stress is extremely well documented. So it's just a really neat tool for people. So I'm just throwing that out there for everyone who's like, what are you two ladies talking about? Because it's a really neat way of measuring it.
Well, and you did a really good podcast on that a while back that I've gone back to a couple times to listen to. And it was fabulous. So yeah, it's...
Thanks for the shout out there. So I want to jump, and we'll put that in the show notes because I can't remember offhand which one it is, but we spoke with the Leaf founder. So I want to jump in on this connection between stress and the gut, because so much of where autoimmune conditions are seeded, where they get originally triggered from, is in the digestive system. And I think for a lot of people, the connection between, oh, I've got stress in my life, and somehow that's affecting my gastrointestinal health, that's a huge leap for them. And this isn't a guess that we have as naturopathic doctors. This isn't a theory. We actually understand with a high degree of detail how this pathophysiology plays out. But can you share that for people? Because I think it is an extremely important connection for them to understand.
Absolutely. Well, and it's interesting because one of our colleagues, Dr. Lisa Watson, posted something about how stress is connected to everything. And I spent probably about a better hour of a day thinking, what does stress not impact? And I couldn't come up with anything. So from an autoimmune perspective, it really is an autoimmune flare because of stress. And so what it's doing is probably the biggest factor is it's changing our gut bacteria. It's changing the way that we are able to digest. So it's creating an environment where pathogenic bacteria is more able to grow. And it's also creating an environment when pathogenic bacteria can grow, it means that you're not breaking food down properly. If you're not breaking food down properly, what happens is you're not digesting. So we need to be able to cleave those amino acids that are found in our foods, the proteins. We have to be able to cleave those into tiny, tiny little molecules. If they're not, and you're not breaking it down properly, that's when that gets flagged as a target for the immune system. And then that is continuously flagged. So what we're seeing is a lot of people are developing more and more food sensitivities, and it's purely because they're not digesting properly. And a lot of it has to do with stress. So it's changing the way we digest. The other thing that stress does is it impacts hormones. So it's changing how much progesterone you have, your estrogen progesterone ratio. So I always tell people, if your PMS is out of control, or if your hot flashes are out of control, then we know that we have a hormone imbalance and it's most likely due to stress. So that's your stress meter. But from an autoimmune perspective, when you're starting to pull and creating more cortisol and your progesterone's dropping, you're changing your thyroid function. You're actually changing and producing more cytokines, which are inflammatory. Stress increases inflammatory cytokines on its own without the hormone changes. So you're kind of having a double whammy. Increase inflammation in someone who has a predisposition to autoimmune. So if you've got those genetic markers, you're probably turning those on at that point. And the problem with genetics and autoimmune is when you turn on those markers, it is very hard to turn off. And a lot of people with an autoimmune condition lack the ability to shut off inflammation and immune response. And so it's this kind of snowball effect. The snowball is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as it's rolling down the hill, and you're feeling worse and worse and worse and worse and worse quicker. So stress can impact you on so many different levels. And we just really need to scale that back. And it's not just emotional stress. So a lot of us just think of stress as trauma, emotional, but it can be physical, it can be chemical, it can be lack of sleep. That's stress. And especially, I know your audience is entrepreneurs. A lot of us, you know, love diving into our work, staying up late, you know, just hitting the grind. So that can be stress on the body.
Yeah. And the foods we eat every single day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's I always talk to my patients about this idea of allostatic load. So I was like, that emotional piece is just one component of it, but it's all like stress debt, and you've got a stress bank account and you can only withdraw so much of it. And you have to be really judicious around how you manage that piece. And so we've got it. We've got this whole audience. It's like, okay, I get it. My stress is like putting me at an increased risk for autoimmune conditions. If I am female, I'm at a heightened degree of risk for that piece. What do you do about it? Because we both said earlier on, we'd love to run these antibodies because we have so many things in our toolkit that we can do to actually address it. What's your general approach to someone who comes in and says, listen, like I've been diagnosed with Hashimoto's, or my antibody levels are elevated, or I have a family history of autoimmune and I want to get in front of it?
Absolutely. So that's a great question, because it actually is not as complicated as we would think. So the very first thing that we start with is diet. We cannot make any changes in your autoimmune condition if you are still feeding the body these inflammatory markers. So gluten-free and dairy-free are the very bare minimum that you need to pull out. So there's other foods that we can pull out, and each condition is a little bit different. Like, for example, thyroid. Coffee is actually a big autoimmune trigger for thyroid, which I know everyone's kind of cringing when they say that. But for lupus, that's not the case. So there's different foods for different conditions, but gluten and dairy seem to be hands down, across the board, very inflammatory, and are tagging for food sensitivities all the time. A couple other really simple ones is we have to get you sleeping. We need to get you sleeping between 7 and 9 hours every night, solid sleep, not waking, just good restorative sleep. Deep breathing. That is probably the simplest thing that none of us do. And that's just you sitting down for 2 minutes and doing 10 deep breaths. If you can do that 5 times a day, you are now rewiring your brain on how you cope with all stressors. You've just reduced your central nervous system. You've taken it out of that stimulation stage to the parasympathetic, which is the rest, restore, digest. Those are some really simple things. And, you know, look at, what does your day consist of? Are you going nonstop? If you are, make sure that you're getting those breaths. And there's lots of apps that you can set, timers on your phone. My watch goes off all the time. And if I'm in with clients, my watch is going off. They start doing deep breathing with their class for 2 minutes. It just completely brings you down for quite some period after as well. But it really is getting back to the basics and just cleaning up, so then we can give the body the tools to calm down, reduce inflammation, reduce the immune response. Now, just take that one step further. So we always start with the basic and the foundations. Then we want to make sure we're doing testing. So let's use thyroid for a perfect example. We want to make sure that we don't start with iodine. We always test. So iodine is one that can send you in either direction very quickly and you feel way worse, or it could trigger a big immune response. So there's a urine test that we can look at for iodine, selenium, cadmium, and bromine. So those are all things that we want to, cadmium and bromine will compete with the selenium and iodine. So we want to just see where those fall on the scale before we start dosing things. We can also look at kind of where we are in the antibody. We can look at food sensitivities, but we don't do that until we've removed the gluten and the dairy. And there's just a lot more testing that we can do. We can look at to see if chemicals are causing this. So what's your chemical load? We can look at viral bacteria, stool analysis, blood work for viruses, bacteria. There's a lot of testing that actually help us find the root cause of what is causing this immune disruption.
And how often do you find you actually can successfully reverse someone's autoimmune condition? And I'm going to give this the caveat. Everybody is different. But I have my own thoughts on this. I'm keeping the question really general, but are there certain factors that you're like, listen, if we haven't crossed this threshold, often we can get things back in alignment? What's your experience say on this?
Absolutely. So it depends on how long you've been experiencing this. And it doesn't necessarily mean when you were diagnosed, because that can take 5 to 10 years. But how quickly can we catch it? What's the level of antibodies? And also, what's your commitment level? So I have some people that are saying, I'm not willing to remove these or do this. And that's going to slow things down. So it really depends that, you know, the clients that are willing to do everything that it takes, we actually get great success. Now, one of the biggest stumbling blocks I find is that once we get you feeling better is adding the foods back in. No one wants to do that because they feel so good. We've had people come off their medication many times. Some people, it's not a matter of coming off the medication, but it's just making it so it manages it better. Mm-hmm. It's such a plethora of different kind of goals. Some people have no desire to come off their medication, and all they want to do is just have a bit more energy. And so that's where we work. And it's amazing how many people, as you get going and they get feeling better, are like, okay, well, what's the next step? All right, well, let's keep going. Even though they came in and all they wanted to do was increase their energy or reduce their pain or make their medication more effective. One of the things is I always tell people is, we don't necessarily reverse autoimmune, but what we do is put you in remission. And our goal is to keep you in remission as long as possible. Mm-hmm. We are going to have flares. There's a lot of things in life that we can't handle, but we want to give you the tools so that when a flare does happen, that you are quickly able to manage it. And that's where we want medication to really come into play. So I don't necessarily think medication is always our long-term end goal. If you've been dealing with autoimmune for 20 years, it may be for a little bit longer than we want. However, I do think that there's a time and place for it, but we always want to be able to kind of figure out why is the body doing this? And we go back to basics. It's amazing how quickly the body can settle down.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I mean, listen, there are some people who are like, you can't touch my coffee and you can't take away my dairy and I'm not going to go off gluten. And that's okay, because we all get to control our own health. It just probably means, in my experience, and you'll probably agree, that this isn't going to be the avenue for you in terms of the management of your autoimmune condition. I have found that, generally speaking, if someone has not yet had to resort to taking biologics, which are heavy duty medications that shut down your immune system, we can often make significant inroads in terms of reducing antibody levels and the associated symptoms with a disease, whether we're talking about gastrointestinal oriented autoimmune conditions or we're talking about thyroid conditions. But to your point, I have found it just takes time. So the longer something's been in place, it takes a long time for your body to change course, to really course correct in terms of how it has been managing the input of stress. You're just going to need a little bit more patience. And I think it's important to manage people's expectation around that. They say that you are the product of the 5 people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to uplevel their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. Allison, can you give people a sense of what the experience would be to work with a naturopathic doctor or a functional medicine practitioner in terms of attempting to resolve an autoimmune condition? So they can have a sense is like, are we working together for a month? Are we in this together for 6 months? Like, what is this really going to look like for them?
That's a great question. And that's one that's asked often. So the way that it works with us or with myself is the first, I would say 6 to 8 weeks, we work on the foundational stuff. In that time, we're also doing some testing to kind of see if we can identify the causes. But that's really important, is to get the foundational stuff. So diet, sleep, managing stress levels. Then we start to look into what is actually causing it. So when diet's not enough is kind of the next section, what I call it. So we're getting great gains with the foundations, which is about 2 months. Then we move into more of the complex stuff. But we can't move into that until we have the foundations, because otherwise people get really sick. They feel worse. So we have to have the foundations in place. Then we start to look at reversing leaky gut. Microbes. So are there any kind of pathogenic bacteria in there, whether it's strep or whether it's parasites or viruses or fungal? We also look at chemical load at that point, and then we'll look at balancing hormones. So that's about a 6 to 8 month process in itself. And as we start getting you better and better and better, things just start falling into place. Now, depending on how long you've had the condition for, so if this has been a longstanding condition for, you know, 10 years and you've needed multiple medications to manage, that process is going to be obviously a lot longer. So that could be a 2-year process. For someone newly diagnosed, that could be a year process. And it's just all kind of managing as we go, building on each step. But the most crucial, important part is that first 2 months of getting those foundations solid, because you cannot move forward without those.
And you mentioned at the beginning that this was part of your own personal journey. Can you share a little bit about what that looked like for you? What sorts of things you had to confront? Was it a diet thing? Was it like, what were some of the parts of your journey that were really most memorable for you?
So the most memorable probably was the frustrations that I had to the lack of testing, the lack of answers. So that's what really kind of led me. I got diagnosed with a thyroid condition. And it wasn't until I started to investigate, well, what could be causing this? Why am I not getting the results that I want? And so I started to investigate what could be the causes. And I, with further testing, I found out it was Hashimoto's. And no disrespect to my doctor I was working with at the time, he was doing a fabulous job. He did as much as he could. He just didn't have the tools or the skills to move forward in that. And so that's where I kind of had to go to a functional medicine practitioner that I happened to be working with at the time in Minneapolis, Dr. Hughes. And she really helped me kind of identify, okay, well, it could be this, let's do this testing. And it was just an eye opener of this whole different world. And there's so much more that you can do to help your autoimmune condition. And for me, it was a combination of everything. So stress for me was extremely high. I was in my last year of naturopathic school. And, you know, I was studying for board exams and doing clinical practice and working a couple jobs to kind of make ends meet and trying to have somewhat of a life doing triathlons at that point, which was a lot of stress on the body. So I just had all these factors that kind of just played in. And so diet changes were important, managing stress, just going back to the basics and sleeping. Sleeping for me was one of the biggest differences that, probably the quickest recovery that I had. It was under 6 months that I noticed that everything was reversing back to normal. But the other thing too that I want to point out is I had years and years and years. So my childhood, I had irritable bowel. I had irritable bowel syndrome until I hit naturopathic school, and that's when I was able to fix it. But I had all of this going on. So it wasn't all of a sudden I got hit with an autoimmune condition. I had all of these things leading up to it. Where I was having hormonal imbalances due to stress. I was having an irritable bowel system. So I had multiple food sensitivities. So that was kind of setting me up for my tipping point, which is in my fourth year.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the story that we often forget with any kind of chronic illness is it's like, oh, well, I have diabetes or, oh, I have this or I have that. And it rarely is like, oh, you woke up this morning and developed these conditions. There's hindsight's always 20/20, right? We start to see these patterns with respect to the body. I love that this was part of your own journey, because I think sometimes when these things are personal to us, it gives us a whole different perspective when we're working with people on a whole different level of passion. And I know that's certainly true for you when it comes to the work that you're doing with respect to autoimmune conditions for individuals. So I just thought it was a huge part of the story and what uniquely positions you as someone who can help people with this.
Well, and one of the biggest things that I found out about going through this myself is you can't treat yourself. So I had all the skills, the tools, and the knowledge, but I couldn't see the big picture. And when it's ourself, we can't see the big picture. We couldn't see the timelines. And like you said, 2020, whereas when you're working with a practitioner, they can see the whole view and they can see the path ahead. So I always call people, I tell people I'm your Sherpa. So I'm here to help you on this journey. It is your journey, but I can see the big picture. I know the steps because I've done this before. And so that's where I'm here to guide you, to help fill you in, because there's not a shortage of information on the internet. Like, we can all Google it, but it's how do we put that into place? And I think that's, for me, what was my biggest eye opener is I knew the information, but I didn't know how to put it in place. And so working with my practitioners that I worked with really just kind of set me up for the success.
A quick note from our sponsor, Badass Fuel. 2 years ago, someone asked me what supplements I take to maintain my health, my energy, and my edge, and they were surprised that I only took 4 things consistently. For myself and my patients, there are 4 basics that support, at a foundational level, nearly every system in our body. In my quest for the highest quality ingredients and the easiest system for consistently incorporating supplementation into my routine, I formulated and manufactured my own line of foundational supplements. My intention with this line was first and foremost quality, but equally important was a system for taking and naming the support that eased the incorporation of supplements into your life. Trusted for myself and my patients, under the guidance of your own healthcare provider, I'm excited to invite you to check out our foundational product line, Badass Basics. You can learn more or order the products yourself by visiting www.badassfuel.com. Such an important reminder. I say this all the time, like, Google's so great at giving you the cookbook, but it's not going to provide the strategy of how to put together the meal. Mm-hmm. And that's really what all of us are so good at as practitioners, and you in particular, with respect to autoimmune. So on this note of giving people some more insight into Dr. Allison Danby, I want to switch the interview a little bit. And I want to throw you our KPIs. So just like we have key performance indicators in our business, I also believe we have them in how we live our lives. So I've got some rapid fire questions for you, if you're ready.
Awesome. I'm ready.
Okay. Number one, what is the square root of 40? No, I'm just kidding. who is inspiring you right now?
You know, there's quite a few people that are right now. I listen to your podcast all the time, so some of them I'm ready for. I'm going to say one is my partner, Craig, and just, we're doing a big reno, home reno right now, and just watching him kind of figure this out and put it all into place. And it's really inspiring to see this happen. And the other people that are really inspiring me is the people that, with your mastermind group, you know, we just had a big conference weekend and we had our last, our meeting, and just seeing what everyone is doing and all the amazing things and the impact that they can make, and just this community that you've created. It's just been such an awe of, like, wow. It's just been an amazing journey. So everyone in that mastermind is definitely inspiring me right now.
Well, that's so kind. And I'm going to echo that, actually, because I too am tremendously inspired by that, that group of individuals. So you're bang on with that. Mm-hmm. Fiction or nonfiction? What's on your bedside table right now?
So I find in the summer, I'm more of a fiction girl. And I think when I get overwhelmed, my brain just craves fiction. But right now I'm in Michelle Obama's book, and I just started it, the book Becoming. And oh my gosh, I love it. So that's what's on my bedside. I can't wait to get to it tonight.
What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Sleep. For me, that was my biggest learning point with my autoimmune condition, was sleep. So if I start to, you know, burn the candle and staying up late and all that kind of stuff, that's when I start to really feel my health decline. So sleep for me has always been a big key.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Oh,
you knew this was coming.
I know, and I still wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe two, I don't know if this is badass, but, so I used to be a high school math teacher before I became a naturopath.
Oh, so we can totally do square root questions.
Yeah. That's why I was panicking when you asked that. that was a long time ago. The other cool, I don't know if it's cool or not or badass, but, I am learning to play the banjo. My dad's a banjo player, and, that's another person inspiring me. So I love awesome. The banjo music.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I like that. So this is a perfect segue then. What do you do for fun or play?
My favorite thing is walking with the dog in the bush. So going on hikes is absolutely my favorite. It's just so calming. I just find it closes off a day or the week beautifully, and it just sets you up for a really nice night.
And last question, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
You know, every time you ask this question, I have a different answer. But I really do think that we are born this way. I think we are just true people that, you know, just are willing to risk a lot. But also the gains are amazing. But we're just not people that like to follow rules. And that's one thing I learned as a teacher is I don't fit in the system well. So I do think that we are born this way. But a lot of it is learned as well.
Well, I'm super excited to have you over in this non-rule follower club. Dr. Allison Danby, you're up to so many amazing things and helping so many people. Where can we send them to learn more about what you're doing?
So my website is allisondanby.com, or you can find me on the social, Instagram and Facebook. And I've been doing a lot of cool stuff. I'm going to be doing a lot of Facebook Lives coming up, or Insta Lives coming up in the new year. So I'm excited for that. So you can find me there.
Amazing. We'll hook everybody up in the show notes so you guys can follow Allison and all the cool things that she is up to. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for joining me again this week on the Entrepology Podcast. If you want to hang out with more like-minded women like yourself, women who are on a mission to leave this planet better than we found it while managing all the other things that we have to do on a day-to-day basis, we are hanging out on Facebook over in the Entrepology Collective. We talk health, we talk business, and we talk inner badass so that we can all leave this world a little bit stronger than we found it. We've got some exciting new episodes coming up. We have our 150th episode just around the corner, and I know it's a busy season for everybody. So I want to wish all of you the very best of the season, and I can't wait to continuing this conversation early in 2020.